everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 395. This is the news edition here. We're going to have a relatively shortened, at least, content list for today's show, as per usual, I guess you could say, around this time of the year. This time of the year, it's crazy. Leading up to Christmas, there is literally so much news that I cannot handle it all. The shows start bleeding over into the 40-minute mark, into the sometimes 45-minute mark. And it goes into territory that I really don't like to deal with too much with the Caffeination Podcast. It's not anything other than personal preference. I feel that the show has a sweet spot somewhere around, I'd say, 35 minutes, and anything more than that gets a little bit out of hand. So this is the time of the year where things start to normalize, except usually in between Christmas and New Year's, there is not much news at all. But we do have a large piece of personal news that we will get to in just a second. This is the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. Hopefully you've heard of us, and hopefully you're going to enjoy what we got coming at you today here. If you're looking for this or any of the other episodic content produced by this lovely show, then please head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. Everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. All right, we have a great show lined up for you today. There's a lot of fun stuff that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about robots, Christmas trees, Mountain Dew, bar sets, and coffee, of course. So, a full show, but before we get into that, I did want to just kind of make a rather formal announcement. If you've heard for the past couple weeks, actually 6 weeks to be exact, that I've been saying the wife has been sick. I hope that nobody has gotten too overly worried by this. It's nothing to be concerned about, except for the fact that we will be welcoming a new guaranteed listener to the Caffeination Podcast in July of 2010. That's right. My wife is pregnant with our second child. There's a new podcaster in training coming up into the ranks in the month of July 2010. So far, it's been a rough pregnancy compared to the last one, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to see where it goes. She's supposedly getting towards the end of the time when it's supposed to be rough, so we're hoping that the sickness kind of eases out there. But in case you don't happen to follow any of the other roads that the Caffeination walks in the social media space, I announced it on Facebook, I announced it on Twitter, and we were kind of waiting till Christmas because there were family members that we hadn't seen yet. We wanted to tell them up close and personal. We've known since the middle of November, and it's been hard keeping a secret. So I'm glad to kind of announce that and get to announce the birth of my second child again on the podcast. It's going to be really fun to sit there and figure out how this is going to weave into the entire fabric of the show. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fantastic, I got to tell you. All right, before we get too much further on this show, I did want to make mention of the fact that the Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. There's no way that you could ever replace them, but the reality is that business travel is a hassle and is often a complete waste of your money. Going from point A to point B wastes a lot of time and resources. You can do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. With just a click, you can host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from the comfort of your own desk. GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. You can host online meetings or from anywhere from 5 to 500, and they're all the same low flat rate. Plus, voice over IP phone conferencing is also included. Our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast to start your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They're keeping us in formula once again. All right, this is the shortened holiday edition, like I said here. We have a couple stories in the Geekcraft section, a couple in the food and caffeinated bits, then we'll head you out on your way. We kind of did away with the entire holiday Cruft section because we're in the throes of the holiday, so there's nothing else that we could try to simplify it. This is also going to be the first episode where we're trying to record on a separate machine than we are looking at. So this is the first time in quite some time that we're actually separating the recording and the system management duties, and today's episode is also sponsored by a lovely blend of Kona that my friend Jimmy bought for us for Christmas, and a interesting beer called Skaldis Noel. So both of them are kind of running the show here, and I'm just along for the ride. Just one quick reminder, in case you happen to miss the past couple times we were talking about it, TPN Weekly this past week was hosted by me, that is Paul of the Caffeination Podcast, and it's a guide to how to be your family's tech support. So hopefully you found that interesting. You can head on over there. I have a couple little utilities and a couple little ways you can get around the idea of being tech support for your family, either in holiday times or whenever. I always end up having a USB drive just in case anything happens. This year it was a little bit more along the lines of just kind of telling people, this is the proper way to go about troubleshooting things. My sister had a horrible time with a dead monitor, a rather inopportune moment. But then again, there's never a good time for any of your tech to go kaput. So I just had to kind of walk her through the steps for troubleshooting, whether or not it was a monitor, whether or not it was a graphics card, or whether or not it was a cable. So all of the stuff for how to do that and different little utilities that I end up carting with me, please head on over and check out TPN Weekly number 36 with Paul R.J. Muller. That would be me. All right, moving right along to the fun stuff that we got for you here. Asus, yes, the people who make motherboards and so much else at this point in time, announce a Roomba killer. Now, it looks just like a Roomba, except it has, Target branding all over it. That's the only thing I can think of. It's bright red with circular patterns on it, and whenever I see that, I think of Target. Asus is a subsidiary of AGAIT, Agate, and they're trying to get into the whole robot vacuum cleaner. The cool thing about this actually has a remote control that's separate from the unit that actually docks into the unit, so you could either have it run on its own, under its own control, and go wherever it's deemed fit, or you could control it yourself and chase the cat around the room, which is probably what would happen if I had it. They're shooting for around $150. There's some different things that they're hoping set it aside from the Roomba, in the fact that it can it does all the same cleaning duties that it has. It also has a 60,000 hour UV light to disinfect the area that it is sweeping, so that's interesting. And it also has a little bit of a potpourri chamber that it can actually spread potpourri as it goes. I don't know if it'll have the same hackability as the Roomba has become famous for having, but it's going to be interesting to see how the next entrant into the robot vacuum cleaner world finds its way. The only thing is, it's called the E-Cleaner. Roomba is a fantastically branded product. It's a Roomba. It has its own life and own wordage or verbiage associated with it, separate from the fact that it's a robot vacuum cleaner. E-cleaner sounds like a piece of software that you would remove off your computer. That's about it. It doesn't have any kind of fun anything associated with it. It's actually kind of boring and kind of disappointing. So I was hoping for something better from Asus when it actually debuts the thing, but it's going to be interesting to see the next entrant nonetheless. All right, now next up we have here, I'm not sure how far you've ever gone to actually throw down with a little prankage for any of your office coworkers. We've done some interesting stuff to people I've worked with in the past. We've moved all the furniture up against their door, then gotten out of the room mysteriously. We've packed their office completely full with boxes when we got new computers and stuff in there. We had one guy I work with who went to India for half of the month of December and half of the month of January, over the entire winter break, and we got a lot of computers in. So we packed somewhere around 150 computers into his small office, and to the point where you couldn't even open the door. It was kind of awesome and kind of fun, but it never to this level. A bunch of guys got together and found a way to First of all, they put a decoy prank in, so if you want to follow along with the video is long and boring, there's no need to actually watch it. You could probably skip to about halfway through to actually see what it does. Apparently the guy went out on vacation, and as a decoy, they turned his entire office upside down. Then, as the real prank unfolded, they had a interesting little robot contraption installed above the drop ceiling so that it would actually lift a patch of the ceiling itself and start firing ping pong balls at random through the hole. I think this is awesome. There's a couple small tactical problems with this. First of all, that they actually had to cut one of the ceiling tiles to do this, and a lot of places really wouldn't allow that. Then again, if you're allowing somebody to install a robot that shoots ping pong balls into the ceiling of your office, you probably have a rather loose work environment. What it should have done is lifted the entire panel so that when it closed down after it shot one or two ping pong balls, it was completely invisible. You couldn't tell exactly where it was. I mean, that way you could move it from day to day and just confuse the heck out of the person. You're just randomly firing ping pong balls at will. But as it was, the guy kind of looked up, saw the thing opening and closing. There's a lot of little video tests of them actually working on the mechanism for opening and closing and not firing ping pong balls while the door was closed. So maybe in the next derivation of it, or maybe in the next instance of it, they can actually change a couple things. It seems pretty cool, but it's a little bit far for what I would normally do for a prank. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is boldly swimming from where no man has swum before. There's a Japanese company that actually has NCC 1701A, which I don't actually think is correct. I don't think that would be canon, because if something's first, it doesn't have the designation of A more often than not, because you're expecting it to be the only one. You don't expect somebody to crash it into a planet or something like that. So it would just be NCC 1701. There wouldn't be the A derivation on it. Of course, I'm talking about the original Star Trek Enterprise. They've created a submarine that is a recreation of the original model size of the Star Trek Enterprise. I love this. I think this is fantastic. And what they have is they have it submerged in a pool and wandering around. It's actually retrofitted as a 1/350th scale model. So I thought this was really cool. The only thing that's really sad is this kind of brings into stark relief a lot of the problem with modern cinema. When you watch the old Star Wars and stuff like that, you see that all the ship scenes look very real, despite the fact that, you know, you realize there could be no Star Destroyer on the film. They look real because they are. They're actual models. And any tricks that the light might play or flicker across, they had a fake sun that was there that would recreate the different shadows that would happen. So that was all very real. There was no extra processing or light that had to get worked into it. You lose that with a lot of the new with a lot of the new different cinema tricks. I mean, yes, you can have everything computer generated. Yes, you can have perfect light, but the problem is real life isn't perfect. There's different skews and different angles that aren't exactly done right in the model when you build something by hand. And I think that the realism of the old movies, despite the fact that, you know, the explosions might look a little bit funky, it's kind of lost on some of the new filmmaking. So this model, despite the fact that we've already talked about the fact that you shouldn't label the first of anything as NCC 1701A, it kind of reminds me of an old story that I saw, and I can't remember where for the life of me. There was a family heirloom, supposedly, that was passed down generation from generation, and the guy was trying to sell it. And he brought it into the antiques dealer and put it on the desk, and the guy opens it up, and it happens to be a sword. And on the handle of the sword, it says, "Presented to General Stonewall Jackson at the First Battle of Bull Run." And the guy looks at it and says, "This is a fake," and puts it away. He says, "Well, what do you mean this is a fake? We've had it. It's authenticated to be that old. We know that so-and-so wore it. We know that it was presented by Stonewall Jackson himself." He said, "Yes, sir, but here's the problem. They didn't know there would be a Second Battle of Bull Run. So when it was presented, it would not have been inscribed with the first battle. And if it was from the South, it wouldn't have been Bull Run. It would have been Manassas." So it's those kind of little things where after the fact, it seems to be perfectly fine. You're like, "Oh yeah, okay, of course, we know that there's going to be a second one. Nobody would ever question it." But it's those tiny little things that really make the model. And the fact that the A is glaring at me, and I don't think that the original had an A, I'll probably look after I've finished creating the show, and I'll kick myself in the pants. But hey, you know, I just thought it was kind of a little bit of a glaring omission there. All right, next, our little item we got for you here is a tweet tree. It's a Christmas tree that changes color with your tweets. I thought this was interesting. It's a fiber optic tree that's controlled via a little personal controller off to the side, your little electronics doodad, and it's hooked up to the to a computer that whenever you send a tweet to a specific account, it would let you know via the fiber optic shift in colors. I think this is interesting. The only issue is, of course, that it's limited to the Christmas season. So unless you can find fiber optic other things, maybe one of those things from the 70s where it's just like the fiber optic flower that scrolls the different colors across it, maybe that would work. All right, next little thing we have up for you here. There is nothing sadder than driving by on the day after Christmas a Christmas tree lot and finding all of the unused trees. Or even, you know, about a week after Christmas and you see all the trees out by the curb. Now, we do use a real tree here in the Caffeination Lair. I am not apologetic about that because of the tradition it is, and I just don't like fake trees. I don't know what it is, but we've had them periodically throughout my life, and they're all okay, but there just seems to be something missing from the season when you don't have that smell and there's some other things. I know it's completely un-PC to actually do it, but I just don't like it. And at the same point in time, you know, driving by that lot, seeing all the unused trees, you really kind of get a sense of the waste that happens. Well, the fine folks in, I believe it's West Virginia, actually have a use for the discarded Christmas trees rather than pulping them or turning them into paper or anything like that. They submerge a ton of them in the lakes and byways and actually provide habitat for some of the fish in the state. I thought this was fantastic. This is a really interesting use for the trees because, first of all, they're going to naturally degrade at that point. Yes, pine trees have a habit of degrading slower than regular deciduous trees, but you're also providing habitat for the fish to feed from, to hide from natural predators in, and it provides a much more lush subterranean environment. Of course, if you had your very own Enterprise submarine, you could go down there and kind of explore it, but there's some interesting pictures from over at greenlaunches.com of some of the reclamation projects, so I thought that was interesting and wanted to pass it along. All right, that about wraps up the Geekcraft section. Like I told you, we're running kind of fast and loose and quick here at the Caffeination this time. Up next in the food and caffeinated bits section, dedicating the first story here to my good friend Norbert Davis from over at the Totally Cool Tech podcast. This is a Mountain Dew tree from over at Tech eBlogs. Unfortunately, if it was actually made for Norbert, it would be a Mountain Dew Code Red Christmas tree, but they don't have the foresight to do it up right here. They've actually found a way to create a Christmas tree out of Mountain Dew cans strung to a Festivus pole, I guess you could say, and the tree topper is a giant bottle of Mountain Dew. The funny thing is, when you actually step away from it and it's actually lit up, it really looks like a regular Christmas tree. It's only when you get a little bit closer you see the mastery of the hundreds of cans actually attached to the tree. I think this is really, really cool. They said there's hundreds of these cans all strung around on each different layer through a metal wire that's actually hooked to the top of the can back to the solid metal pole that goes up. It's done via just regular wire and with a drill and needle nose pliers. So I thought it was pretty funny. The only thing that I'm missing here is a count of exactly how many Mountain Dew cans were used. This is the kind of thing you'd expect to find in like a dorm, except probably with beer. And speaking of which, apparently, instead of dorms, you're going to find that in Shanghai, China, where they collected over 1,000 Heineken bottles, and they created a massive Christmas tree out of 1,000 Heineken bottles. And if you're looking at it, the scale that they have it here is astounding. There's multiple levels above the standard person walking by on the street. It looks to be at least 30 or 40 feet tall of just, you know, rows upon rows of bottles, all lit from the inside with a lovely warm green glow with a little red tree topper up at the top. I can't tell what the red tree topper is, but it's kind of interesting. And the fun part about this is the recycled use of old equipment going back through both. I would personally like to see how they emptied 1,000 Heineken bottles that quickly, but hey, you know what? All's fair in holiday cheer. All right, next little thing we got up for you here, staying within the alcoholic vein. This is an affiliate link, but it's a present that I actually got for Christmas from my uncle. It's a Kirkland 5-piece wine bottle accessory set. Now, I know I've talked about this before because I saw it come out, and I was like, wow, that seems really cool. I wonder how it would actually work. Well, this is a 5-piece bar set that's actually inside a case that looks like a wine bottle. So when it's closed, it just looks like a black wine bottle. The only thing missing from the entire thing is if they had an awesome label on the outside, it would look a little bit better. Other than that, this is a perfect way to kind of have your bar equipment on hand at the ready in a wine rack or whatever you saw fit to store them in without having to have them lay all over the place. I mean, there's a lot to be said about having a place for your stuff and having the proper place to keep things and easy place to stow equipment away. So And bar equipment's tiny. There's no shortage of people who have lost different pieces of accoutrements from their bar set just because they're so small and they end up in a drawer somewhere. So this is an interesting way to keep them all on hand. So I highly recommend heading out and checking this out. It's only $26 over at Amazon, so I thought I'd just put a link up there and hopefully you might find it interesting. All right, the next little thing that we have for you here is a barista approved mod shoves a coffee maker, Mac Mini, and a subwoofer into an iMac DV case. If you remember the old colored iMac cases, they put a fake screen on there, carved out a slot for a WMF coffee maker, which is the coffee maker where it has a coffee cup that fits perfectly into a slot on it, and then you have one button that actually single cup brews a coffee thing into it. It has a subwoofer on the inside for you, and has a iMac or a Mac Mini rather running the whole show from behind the scenes. Now I'm a big fan of reusing old tech in interesting ways, but this is kind of an interesting thing I never thought to do. I love having the coexistence of coffee and computing in the same case. The only thing is Macs are kind of famous for incorporating DRM into our lives. You'll never understand or explain DRM to anybody better than if they had an iPod at one time and they try and get something else, or they wonder why they can't use their iTunes purchased songs elsewhere because they just didn't happen to read the fine print for the tie-ins. And the funny thing is, by using the WMF coffee maker, they actually have their own little version of DRM installed in the coffee making interface because you can't use any other mug other than the one that's included with the WMF coffee maker because nothing else will fit into the outline that goes into the screen. So I thought it was interesting, thought it was quite apropos that the two should meet, so I wanted to pass this along because I thought it was that fantastic. All right, next little item, and the last little item we got for you here at the Caffeination Podcast is Star Wars Wine Stoppers. There's nothing else other than that. It's a really cool and interesting little collection of Star Wars. Each one is $12. They have Stormtrooper, Darth Vader, Chewbacca, Han, Leia, Yoda, I believe, a couple of the other ones, and then there's some other ones that are not Star Wars related, but each one is handcrafted. They're lovingly done, and they even have some fun Christmas ones off to the side, like they have Nutcracker ones and Mallard ones and all other kinds of Christmas snow globes, eagles, and other things like that. But each one's $12, and if you happen to be somebody who uses a significant amount of wine and you don't decant it separate from the bottle, then you might want to look into one of these because these things are pretty cool. Other than that, I think that about wraps it up here for today's show. Thank you ever so much for stopping in during your Christmas break if you happen to have one, and hopefully everybody out there got all the cool geeky presents that you were hoping for. We've gotten a couple, and we're on our way to doing some fun other stuff. The wife and I actually gave ourselves a fun night out on the town. So around halfway through January, we're going to be going out to see Wicked here in Philadelphia with a couple of our friends. So it's going to be us, night on the town, a whole bunch of fun stuff attached to that. I also got an awesome book called Visual Miscellanea. If you've ever seen any of the fun stuff that happens over at informationisbeautiful.net, the man who did that, David McCandless, wrote a book, and it's unbelievably awesome. awesome. So I'm so happy that my aunt bought me that. There's a lot of fun stuff, and we'll be going over them in the next couple episodes probably. And I now have a bunch more fun stuff to review and talk about on the video shows, all right? Thank you ever so much for stopping by. This has been a interesting episode, to say the least. Caffeination number 395. If you're searching for this episode, it's lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.